This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
It's time for real stories from those who make our region and our country their home. Time for making yourself at home, thanks to the support from the Ethnic Communities Development Fund.
Good morning, Taranaki. I hope you're staying dry out there today, which will be last week when this airs. Welcome to Making Yourself at Home on 104.4 FM, your voice, your choice. I am your host, Brian, along with my other host, Clara from Spain, and Maria from Venezuela. Got it this time. Good morning. Special guest, Bianca from Italy. And we'll have Clara introduce our special guest for today.
Yes, I am very excited to have Bianca here because we met at the end of last year, but yeah, I don't know her very well. We just met briefly at a yoga event. So thank you for being here, Bianca.
Thank you for having me.
So Bianca was born in Milan to an Italian and Syrian family, and shaped by a multicultural upbringing that sparked her curiosity about the world early on. She studied journalism, and after working in digital marketing in Amsterdam, Bianca felt the pull to slow down and realign her life. That led her on a journey through different countries that I am sure we will ask you about, like India, Nepal, Morocco, where yoga, meditation, and living closer to nature became central to her path. Now she is based here in New Plymouth, New Zealand, and rebuilding her life with intention and creating community. She recently launched the Kindness Supper Club, which she will tell us more about, and she's soon starting to teach yoga in town. Welcome, Bianca.
Welcome, Bianca.
Thank you.
Good morning to the audience.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about how you ended up in New Zealand. In New Plymouth.
Wow, yeah. If someone would have asked me that like 2 years ago, I would have said, nah, no way. No, I'm not going to New Zealand. It's way too far from my family. But here I am. So let me introduce a little bit more of how I ended up here. I was indeed seeking more of a slow-paced lifestyle. And after some solo trips to Morocco, I was at that time living in Amsterdam, I thought, wow, that's where I want to live, here in Morocco. You know, you get to see that there is another way to live your life. And then life is like, yeah, you think so, but nope. You get to experience much more yet, you know. So then I went to India. I did my yoga teacher training, and there as well, I was like, wow, I love India. Maybe that's the place for me where to settle. And that's where life was like, nope, but here you go, see. And they just introduced me to a beautiful soul, my current partner, who's originally from India, but moved to New Zealand when he was around 10 years old with his family. And again, like during the yoga teacher training, I was like really telling him like, sorry, I'm here to find myself. Like, yeah, I really appreciate your company. You're a beautiful person, and I've never been, you know, that open with someone to talk about meditation and yoga and all like the philosophy. But no, thank you. And then again, it's a challenge, you know, it's life testing you and see, okay, how far are you willing to go to find yourself? Well, by the end of the yoga teacher training, we decided to go on a journey together to Nepal. So my current partner and I. And we were, I don't know if brave enough or crazy enough to go on a 10-day silent meditation retreat in Nepal, in like the middle of the jungle, which was a crazy but beautiful experience. And then from there, I already signed a volunteering contract, let's say, with the surf house in Morocco that was starting in August, where I would be going there to teach yoga. So again, our path split, and he went back to New Zealand, and I came back to Morocco. I went back to Europe and then to Morocco. I did my teaching experience there, which I was dreaming about, like at the beginning of the year, and that was 2024. And it was a beautiful experience. It was 3 months there teaching yoga at sunrise and sunset every day for the guests. And it was like a dream. But again, it's challenging because, yeah, you're there by yourself in a new country. You don't speak the language and you'll always be a foreigner, which can be the beauty of life, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after 5 months of long distance with my partner and of listening to myself and my intuition, because I didn't want to come to New Zealand, let's say, just because of him. I wanted to be part of my journey. I wanted to make sense for me, because you never know. What if you buy a one-way ticket to New Zealand and things don't go as expected? So I was like, I need to think of, okay, am I doing it for myself? So because it makes sense for me, or just because of the enthusiasm of the moment, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's how I booked the first one-way ticket to New Zealand. That was December 2024. And I stayed for 7 months. I was traveling, I stayed with my partner, but yeah, we were also figuring things out together, which was a lot of differences in terms of cultures, background, stage of life. I'm 3 years older, but I just quit my corporate life of marketing that I was, you know, working in for 5 years, and he was starting as a doctor. So a lot of differences to navigate through together. So there was the moment to decide, do we want to do this together? It's going to be challenging or not. And yeah, we decided to continue. I gave him some space. I went to a yoga ashram near Wellington, and I spent 2.5 months there, which again, it helped me to reconnect to my soul, to my purpose, to my why. And that's where I find out that plant-based food was actually my inner call. I always loved cooking for my family, for friends, but I never knew what was the key. Why am I cooking? I love to bring people together. I love to share meals. That's part of my culture as well, as being Italian and with some Syrian roots. But now I knew in that ashram where the Swami was vegan, gluten-free and diabetic, that if I wanted to cook something, it had to be inclusive for him. So then it means inclusive for as many people as you can. And yeah, last year, March, I decided to leave the ashram and come to New Plymouth to settle down with my partner. But then, as we know, as an immigrant, everything doesn't happen with the timings that you think it would happen. So I went back to Europe for summer for 4 months. He came to visit me and my family in Milan. We did also.
Was that the first time that he met your family?
Yeah, yeah. That was the first time. That was September 2025. Yeah, he came to Milan, and then we traveled around Italy a little bit and also Morocco. So having him in Morocco, in the surf house where I was teaching before, or in the place that opened my mind to a new way of life, was unbelievable. I was like, am I dreaming or is this actually happening? Yeah, so he went back then to New Zealand. I stayed a couple of weeks more with my family and friends. And then again, I booked my other one-way ticket in December. I love to say one-way ticket because in 2024...
The second time, one-way ticket.
Yeah. I've been booking so many one-way tickets since I quit my life that my mom was like, okay, when are you going to stop doing this? Because it's like really hard on me. No, she never said that actually, but I think she's been thinking about it a lot. Yeah, and so December 2025 is the time where I actually settled down in New Plymouth, and I was waiting for my partner work visa to be approved, which actually happened a month ago. So
congratulations. Yeah,
okay. Thank you.
Cool. How beautiful story, isn't it?
Yeah. And how are things now? Like, do you, with that one-way ticket, do you think this will be like one for long?
Yeah, definitely.
Here in New Zealand, in New Plymouth, how are you finding things here?
I think I found my place for now. I always like to say that this is the right place at the right time. You never know for the future because we are evolving, so the environment around us. But for now, this is exactly the place where I'm seeing myself for the near future. But despite that, I think there are still some up and downs to go through when you're building a new life. And that's for sure something I've underestimated. But maybe it's beautiful. That's the beauty of it, you know, to not overthinking too much and just like go with the flow and see how you can navigate through it, you know, and like adapting yourself. And I've been working in marketing for 5 years. I quit it, but it's not because I quit the corporate that I quit marketing. I still love marketing and I still love to support the small brands and like, yeah, turning their product into something that can, yeah, grow and sell. And at the same time, I'm starting now over and working in a cafe in my 30s. And yeah, it's something I've never done before. And I was like, well, why not? Because it's nice to be out there and like be part of the community. It's not just like working in the cafe. It's like serve people with kindness in the place that is now your new home. So that's one part. But then on the other side, I'm also really close to my family, which is still in Italy and in Amsterdam. And I just got a niece. So I think my life would always be split in between Europe and New Zealand.
I have a question about your yoga training. Yeah, probably have asked that question to other guests. Is how you find yoga in Morocco, in India? Is this different from here, from in New Zealand, where you have also experienced all yoga as a teacher, as a participant? How do you find that different?
Yeah, that's a good question. It really depends, yeah, on the environment you are. And I do feel that yoga is, because yoga is not just the asana, just the practice, and we all know that, or at least as yoga teachers. So that's why yoga is so adaptable and so flexible, because you can be in an environment where people requires more the flexibility. I was teaching yoga in a surf house, so it was more for surfers, for people that were then waking up early to go surf, and you know, they had to face that environment. So they need to build muscle strength and flexibility, but not just for the sake of it, but because it helps the body to, you know, not have injuries during surf. So, and then the crowd was also maybe quite young, because it's usually like, yeah, young people traveling solo or with friends, in their between 20s and 30s. And in Amsterdam, it's because it's, of course, it's a beautiful city, but it's also a fast-paced life. So then people would come to the yoga class at the end of the day to really unwind and like find a quiet place. But they still want some strength a little bit, you know, unless they go maybe to a specific yin class. But maybe I should have mentioned that at the beginning, that I'm more drawn to the hatha classical path, which is the balance of the ha and the ta, the sun and the moon, and how to activate the energy, the prana, in your body. That's also what I've been learning from my teacher in Amsterdam. So I think for me, what I always love to bring is like to bring that yoga is a tool you have to build on your discipline, the discipline of prioritizing yourself first every single day. And that shouldn't be heavy on you, but it's like that beautiful tool you have. And today it can be drinking hot water with lemon first thing in the morning, because it's easy your digestion. And tomorrow could be implementing a 5 minutes meditation every day. And then the third day could be an asana practice, so moving your body. So I like to bring that spectrum, that yoga is not one thing. So it's fine to adjust it. It's fine if today you do a practice and tomorrow you do another one. And yeah, here in New Zealand, I haven't started teaching yet, so I don't exactly know what people are seeking. But for myself, I think on one hand, I see a lot of vinyasa classes going on, or on the other side, it's a lot of yin, so relaxing and yeah, just like reconnecting with your body and your mind. So, but that's also the beauty of yoga, that it's for everyone. Anyone actually needs some yoga in their life.
Yeah, and there's so many different like options and styles. So like if you try one and it's not for you, there's still many more that you can keep trying, and many other teachers. So there's like heaps of teachers, heaps of different styles. So I think like yeah, anyone could find the style of yoga or the type of practice that will suit them if they keep trying new things.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah.
I'd like to rewind a bit, and I'm always interested in our guests, how they ended up exploring the world and being open to travel and buying one-way tickets to foreign lands. So are there any inspirations that you had growing up that kind of gave you that wanderlust and travel bug?
It wasn't really a travel bug for me, but it was more like chasing a lifestyle that would suit me. Instead of following the path that everyone was following. I remember the first 3 days of my first job, I think I was 21, in Milan, in this agency, communication agency. And I was really glad I had the job, because at that time it was really hard to find a job, that was the narrative that was going on in Italy. And after 3 days, I went to my mom and I was like, I don't think I can do that. Like sitting in front of a computer and at the desk, like my whole life. And she just smiled as if, you know, yeah, that's what you gotta do. Like, you know, I always dreamed, I studied journalism, but at that time I was seeking more for financial stability and becoming a journalist. It's not choosing financial stability. So you need to prioritize. And that's what made me prioritize at that time, the corporate lifestyle, and made me move to Amsterdam, which was a great experience. And I learned a lot. But then this time came again, where I was like, no, this isn't for me. I think I need more. And it's not more as if, I need more because I'm better and I deserve more. It's like I need more to suit my soul and like to soothe my soul and myself. I was completely demotivated at work. I didn't got the promotion that I was expecting to get after 5 years in the company. Someone else got promoted, and for me it just felt really unfair. And I was being really clear and transparent with them, saying like, this is how I feel. This is how my body is reacting, because I wasn't feeling well physically either. And this is how my mind is also reacting. So is there anyone who can help me? And they tried, but I think they just maybe didn't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. So that's the moment where I started meditating, and the answers just were arising. And I just understood that for me at that time, I was 27, financial stability was not my priority anymore, even though it was the priority for everyone around me. And it was really hard to detach from that, because you're detaching from the expectations of your parents as well, you know? But I was just, I need to be true to myself. And that's the moment where I realized, okay, I need to do more, like change that priority, put at the top one what really is what I need right now. And it was more of a slow pace and aligned life with myself. But I had no idea of how this would turn out to be. So I took that decision, I quit my job, and my mom's reaction wasn't, of course, the best. But because I think I will only understand that if I will become a mom one day. But she's been supporting me throughout the whole journey. And so I think for me, indeed, it wasn't really the travel bug, but was like the purpose bug, finding a purposeful life.
Yes, I completely understand your mother.
I think like I was resonating with some of the things like you were saying about like the expectations from like other people around us and how like sometimes like you feel you need to follow that, but sometimes that aligns with your own purpose or expectation, but sometimes it doesn't. And how to detach from that is tough. I think.
Indeed.
I am curious, and this is something that we often ask our guests, and you also mentioned that you are very close to your family, so I am imagining perhaps you are also very close to your culture in Italy. So what are the things from your culture that you still keep with you now that you are living in New Zealand and you share with your partner, with him being from India but living, like growing up here in New Zealand? How is that mixture of cultures at home?
It's a learn by doing, and it's every day a new learning, and that's beautiful. Learning from my side, of course, of his culture, and from his side of mine. So yeah, for instance, when we go to maybe some struggles, then we actually understand that it's because of maybe cultural differences or like background differences. But what I love is that he's got this mix of culture, because he is originally from India, but he basically grew up in New Zealand. And I grew up in Italy, but my father is half from Syria. And I went to a French school my whole life, and then moved to Amsterdam when I was 22. So for me, it's always been within me that I wasn't just one thing. I remember going to French school my whole life, so everything you would do it in French, and there were people from all over the world coming maybe for 4 years and then moving because of expat life, basically. So I've been exposed to expat life, not being an expat myself, but seeing expat sons and daughters at school, and I always find it so fascinating that they were living in Africa, and then they were in Milan, and then they're about to go to Russia, or and I was speaking so in French most of the time at school, and back home in French mainly with my father, and Italian with my mom. Moving to Amsterdam, I had to speak English because work was in English, and I learned a little bit of Dutch because, you know, you're moving to the country, so you need to show also some, that's my perspective, some respect to the people. So I learned quite some Dutch, which is just a B1 level, I guess. But yeah, I grew up with a lot of languages and a lot of situations going on. And I always, sorry to say that, but blame my father for not teaching me Arabic. So since I was like 15, I got like that urge of learning Arabic. I don't know why, but it's like it was within me. So I was like hoping he could teach me. He was just like, he was really not really willing to do it. He brought me CD when he was like traveling, and then so I started learning by myself, and then I would go to him and like repeat the words, and he's like, no, the accent is really not good. You're not gonna make it. And I was like, well, but can you just like, you know.
You were trying. That's the first thing.
And it's Arabic, you know, it's not like a.
Not easy.
Exactly. But yeah, that's just a little bit of my background. So I wouldn't, my culture, I wouldn't name it just as Italian culture, but more of this mix. I think my whole life I've been chasing to have more of a mixed culture. That's like what we are here for on this planet, I guess, at least for me, to learn from each other and like to break those barriers that we have and those boundaries, but try to make it happen. And so that's like what I'm bringing into my relationship right now with my partner, and he's willing to open up as well and like to share and to talk. And And so I think communication is the most important, and can be verbal, but can also be physical. You have a lot of many ways to communicate, and that's your chance to, you know, bring the culture and keep the culture within you, and also learn from the culture where you're settling down in this moment. That's what I love as well. Like being in New Zealand, it's a new opportunity to learn something new about people living on the other side of the world. A lot of people say that New Zealander and Australian are living upside down. So, yeah, you're living and experiencing something new.
So nice. So you managed to learn Arabic?
A few words. I know that my last name means black, and my first name means white in Italian. So I don't know if this means something.
That's funny. Yin yang balance.
Yeah. Yin and yang, maybe.
And tell us a little bit about the community that you just launched, the Kindness Supper Club. Yeah, I'm really curious because I missed the invite to dinner that you sent me. So tell us about that.
Thank you for asking. Yeah, it's always been in the back of my head to launch a community and to spread kindness. And my perspective, my English is still not, of course, the best, but whatever, of kindness is an act of revolution. So it's the most revolutionary act you can take today towards yourself, others, and the planet. But to what I was saying before about yoga, it's like your small tool to integrate in your personal life to build on that self-kindness. Because if you're not looking inwards to yourself or, yeah, being kind to yourself, then you could never support others around you. You could never be a great person around you, you know? And that's why people also move abroad or take like life-changing decisions is, I think, because of kindness. And then you see that they're more helpful for others out there. So that's a bit of like the intro of what's the Kindness Supper Club and why do I want to bring it out there. But I want to bring it with the way I think I like to share love, so with plant-based conscious food, plant-based actually mainly or just vegan food. And in that I like to put, you know, a little bit of my culture, Italian, but also the Syrian culture, but why not the Indian ones? Because I feel like, yeah, you can never have enough cultures within you. So the goal is to then gather together, slow down, have a lot of laugh and just enjoy the food. And that's for everyone, mostly for also the skeptical people about veganism and, you know, kindness. It all looks cute and quiet, but no, kindness can be bold and kindness can be super cool and vegan as well, and conscious food. It's all about like bringing kindness to, you know, make kindness cool again. So that's the first starting point, having those monthly gatherings, so dinner, supper date, but eventually would love to launch some more small events to enhance also the community bonding here in New Zealand, in New Plymouth, and why not, abroad and everywhere in the world in the future.
Beautiful. How was the first dinner?
It was amazing. I must say that it was, of course, all people that I knew, just one girl, I didn't know her. And it was beautiful to see that she was so keen to try the food and like join that community. We had 15 people over, and it was my first time cooking for 15 people.
Wow.
And again, I think underestimated completely the work behind it, but that's the beauty of it. You know, you have to experience it. If you haven't experienced it yourself, you would never relate to that feeling and you would never learn. And yeah, that's one of the my main mantra in the past 2 years. But and seeing all those 15 people, each one of them with their personal story, and maybe not everyone was into vegan food. Actually, someone was like a heavy, or is a heavy meater or heavy meat person, whatever. And it's just nice to see them trying and see and say, oh wow, it's actually really good, you know. And so that's really powerful to me. And the other thing is like bringing together people that they don't know each other before, and then realizing that you don't need to be there to make the conversation happen. But that just was just so fluid and beautiful to see that, It was very inspiring, and at the end of the night, I was so full of energy and emotions. And when you, you know, in your body and your mind, you say, okay, I'm doing the right thing.
So this is initiatives kind of having gathering together every
month.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For dinner and for the conversation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where do you host the dinners, and can anyone join, and how do they find out?
Well, for now, I've been hosting at my place. To start off with and see how people react, if there is a need as well for that. But I think there is always a need for a community, right? Like, to find your people and your like-minded people and be your true self in a nice environment. I have an Instagram page, The Kindness Supper Club, and maybe we can share the details in the notes.
Yeah, we will share for sure the details on the social media, like Facebook and Instagram post. Yeah.
And yeah, so that's where I'm going to post about the next events. But eventually looking for a venue, a small venue where to host those dinners. So yeah, if anyone who's listening wants to offer their venue for a Kindness Supper Club event, then I would love to hear from you.
There's community halls and church halls, and the TOE Foundation is also a great spot. So, hopefully it grows to the size where you need to find a larger venue to share. Encourage the listeners to seek that out. Sounds like a really beautiful initiative. And it's a great way to kind of wrap things back and bring it closer to home here towards the end of our time together. It's been a really great, insightful, interesting conversation to have with you. And to finish our show, we'll come back to our classic question for our guest is, if you had a friend or a loved one moving to a foreign country, what advice would you give them to be able to make themselves at home and in a new place?
Do not have any expectations. Try as much as possible to go find yourself, your purpose, so then you will attract the right people to you, because having the right community around you is life-changing, such in a time where you're, you know, building a new life and maybe a new self-identity as well. So it's really important to attract the right people around you. So always bring kindness to others, because then that's the best way to get kindness back.
Like attracts like.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Nice.
Thank you so much for coming and joining us, Bianca.
Thank you so much.
It was lovely to hear more about yourself.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And thank you for everybody in the studio, and thanks to all of our listeners out there in New Plymouth, New Zealand, and elsewhere in the world. Hope you have a great week, and we'll catch you next week on Making Yourself at Home. Take care, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.